Here, let's pray together, okay? Lord, thanks for how you work in our lives. Lord, I think of Dory when she gets up and talks, and I remember being 14 and even younger than that, and just the journey that you had her on, Lord. And we celebrate all that you walked her through, even back at LC, Lord, all the things, and at Purdue, all the things. I'm sure Ike's got his stories, too, about the challenges when he was a boy. And Lord, you looked out through time, and you knew how you were going to use this couple to reach many people for Jesus. We're just so thankful for your faithfulness to them, God. We are. We're thankful for all that you've done in them and you're doing, and we're excited about what you're going to do. We pray for them, Lord. We pray your Holy Spirit would just flood them right now. In Jesus' name, we pray your Holy Spirit would just completely flood them, Lord, and that they would just rest in you and trust in you. And as challenges come, and do we do this, do we that, they just rest in the fact that you say you'll give them the wisdom they need and every moment that they need it. And so build their faith up in you, Lord. And we ask that many, many people would come to know Jesus as their Savior because of this vision that you've placed inside of their heart. But Lord, it's not their vision, it's your vision. And I pray that at any point in time when they try to get their fingerprints on this, that you would gently remind them that this is not about Dory and Akaika. It is about Jesus Christ, and we rejoice in that. We pray, Lord, that you would move our hearts as a congregation to not only support them by sending them a little bit of money here and there, but we would learn by your Spirit to how we can support them just emotionally, by just being able to send things to them to encourage them. And, Lord, if it be of you that we could send an adult team down soon, that we could be a blessing to them that way too. So have your way. Thanks for the time that they're home, that they can be refreshed. Pray this time would be very just refreshing for them. So thank you for this time that we've had to be reminded of your work in Mazatlan. Have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. By the way, Mazatlan's middle of Mexico, middle of the country, right out on the Pacific Ocean, if you wonder in your head where Mazatlan is. Bye. We're in Luke chapter 12, if you have your Bible. Well, hey, have you said hi to me yet today? That ain't right. Well, we're just going to do a little portion of Scripture. We go through the Bible here line by line. I have no idea where my Bible is. Okay. Line by line, and we happen to be today in kind of the middle of chapter 12. Austin and Anya were married yesterday afternoon. That's why the seats are a little different today. It was really nice. He's such an emotional boy. He is so got such a huge heart for God. He didn't pass out. I had wondered if he might. I had smelling salts in my pocket because I thought he would land up. But he did real well. You know, when you're up here in my spot, you get to hear him deep breathe and say, oh my. You know, you hear all sorts of crazy things that the dude does. So here, Luke 12, let's just read what we're going to do today. We start today in 22, Luke 12, 22. Speaking of Jesus, of course, it says, "Then he said to his disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, or we might say the crows, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. How much more value are you than the birds? And which of you by worrying can add one cubit, 18 inches, to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? 27, consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. 29, and do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. 33, sell what you have, give alms, provide yourselves money bags, which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where neither where no thief approaches, nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We'll work our way through it pretty quick today. Jesus, in this section, in this chapter, this is the third warning that he's given to us. First, it's about the warning of hypocrisy and the challenge that we all have to live our lives for Jesus without compromise. We're not to be afraid of what people think as we stand up for him. And when we're willing to stand for him, Jesus says, then I'll stand for you. And then secondly, last week we talked about the warning of covetousness. And Jesus gives us the example, a parable of a wealthy man whose fields were blessed so much that he had produce that was greater than the amount of barns he had. So he was thinking, I'm just going to tear down all these barns and build new barns because I got so much that I have that what am I going to do with it all? And then he said to his soul, my soul, eat, drink, and be merry. In essence, what the guy says is, I've arrived. I got it made. It's going to be great. Remember how it ends? How does it end? Chapter 12, verse 20. But God said to him, boy, if God calls you a fool, that's a problem. Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? And so it is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And so then we move right on to that because now Jesus is going to talk to us, his disciples, those of us who desire to follow after Christ in this world. And he tells us, don't be anxious. Don't worry. And that's the first couple of verses. You notice it says there in 22 and 23, Jesus says, don't worry about your life, what you eat, what you put on your body, because life's more than food and life's more than clothing. And I think what he's saying simply is this. You know, if we're going to follow Jesus in this world, then we're not to be consumed by worrying about our daily provision. Because sometimes I can have in our mind, you know, there's Akaika, she grew up in town, she's got a great family, and I've been privileged to be a part of their family for so long. As she steps out into this, don't you think there can be this, is God going to take care of me now? What's going to happen now? And then not only just as they step out and begin to do this ship thing, is God going to take care of me now? And we can look at missionaries and think, yeah, they think that way. But you know what? I think that way too. Don't you? Yeah, I think we do. As I make these kind of commitments, as I desire to live my life without hypocrisy, as I desire to live my life without coveting, Lord, are you going to take care of me? And I think that's why Jesus speaks to this, because he wants to assure us the answer is a resounding yes, absolutely, certainly. You can count on me is what Jesus is saying. And it's good to be reminded of that. Now, our word worry that we see there, and he says in 22, do not worry. It comes from the Anglo-Saxon word, which means to strangle. And there are people who worry so much that it's like they're suffocating. It affects their blood pressure. It gives them ulcers. Dr. Charles Mayo of the Mayo Clinic, when he was alive, he said this, worry affects the circulation, the heart, the glands, the entire nervous system. I've never known a man to die from overwork, but I've known a lot of men who die from worry. Now, all of us go through times of crisis. There are times when we get the diagnosis from the doctor that we have cancer, or the diagnosis that comes for whatever our health issue is, or the boss shows up and says, we don't need you here anymore. Go get your stuff and get. We go through crisis. And it's important to realize that there is anxiety that comes with those times. And there's worry related to the world that we live in. You know, the violent stuff that's going on and the divorce rate. You know, I deal a lot with young people. It's amazing the amount of young people who say to me, I'm worried that my parents will get divorced. Because a lot of my friends have parents who are divorced. What's different about my parents? And so our young people worry about those kind of things. I mean, the terrorism that's in the world today and the crazy dude that's over in North Korea. Who knows what he's capable of doing? And then the things that go on in our world just lately, you know, cyber attacks and identity theft. And I go to the gas station, I swipe my card, there can be a skimmer there and take my, we know who thought about that 5 years ago? There's so many things. And the economic system in this world, It's threadbare. Do you realize the U.S. national debt is $20 trillion? Now, we throw that word around as if it's nothing. Go home today and look up on Google what a trillion is. Here's one little thing. 1 million seconds is 12 days. 1 billion seconds is 31 years. 1 trillion seconds is 31,688 years. And the United States government is $20 trillion in debt. There's a lot of things to be anxious about in our world. And a lot of people who live in the world and don't know Jesus, they're wringing their hands. Maybe they ought to be. But Jesus is telling his disciples, you and me, he's saying, you know what? Anxiety is not to be the hallmark of a believer. If we're going to be followers of Christ in this world and we're going to bring a message of peace to the lost and the hurting in this world, then we shouldn't be chewing on our fingernails, wringing our hands, worried over about our basic necessities. The chaplain of the U.S. Senate, when he was speaking about worry, he said, ulcers should not be our testimony. We're called to tell a lost world that there's hope, that there's a future in a relationship with God, and it's possible for them to find peace in this world. Then we need to walk in that peace too. Amen? We do. So what do we do with the anxiety? Jesus kind of spells it out here, and he gives us two examples in nature. I read it. Notice in 24, he talks about, my word would be the crows. It says in my version, the ravens, and then it talks about the flower. The raven has no capacity in the way that God has made it to store up food. And yet God provides for that bird. How does God provide for that bird? Day by day by day by day. And see, I think what he's trying to help us see is that the bird's a non-eternal animal. It doesn't have a soul. And yet God still cares for that animal because it's part of his creation. And so Jesus says, you're an eternal being. You are forever going to be with me. And God sees you as special. And so therefore, we've got to trust that if God's going to take care of a non-eternal crow, then what's he think about me? He is absolutely going to take care of me. I think that's why he says that. And then in 25, when he talks about the adding a cubit, some would say that's it is 18 inches. Some would say it's growing our stature. But who wants to be 18 inches taller? I think in context what it's saying is trying to add days to your life. So when we read, let me find it again, 25, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature, is I think what Jesus is saying. By worrying, can you add one instant to your life? Can you add any time to your life? And of course, we would know the answer to that is no. No one's ever worried themselves to a longer life. They've worried themselves to death, but not to life. I've heard it said, worry's like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. There's a story, too, I heard in a country folk. This guy, he lived in the town in this country, and the people there made fun of him all the time because he was a worrywart. When he was in his house, he worried about carpet fibers and lead in the water and microbes on his pillow and all this stuff. When he's outside the house, he's worrying about the ozone layer and urban sprawl and nuclear war, and his hair's falling out. He's getting ulcers everywhere. Guy was a total mess. One day, though, the people in the town see him walking through town just a whistling and a smiling, a bouncing his step. So one of the merchants, the baker, calls him over and says, dude, what's different? I haven't seen you like this for a while. And he goes, you know what I did? I hired somebody to do my worrying for me. Yeah. He says he's living in my house. And from the moment I wake up, he's awake. He worries all day long until I go to bed. And he's just doing it for me. And he goes, it's been great because he's doing it for me. And all I need to do is pay him $500,000 a year. And the baker says, huh? $500,000 a year? He says, you only make $40,000, $50,000 a year. How are you going to pay him $500,000 a year? And he goes, I don't know. That's his worry. Come on, that was an okay one. So
So that's the raven guy. And then here it says, consider the lilies in 27. Same kind of thing. If God clothes the flowers of the field with that kind of splendor, then God's going to take care of us and clothe us. And again, if God is going to take care of a flower that has no future, do you see there it talks about being in the oven? It's only going to be used to start a fire. If God's going to take care of a flower like that, then he's going to take care of us. We have a future with God. We have an eternal destiny with God. Now, two things I want you to notice. Notice in 24, the first word is consider. And then notice in 27, the first word is consider. So when we are worrying about the food that we're going to eat and the clothes we're going to wear, Jesus gives us an interesting perspective in those two words, because the word consider, same word in two places. The word consider is a Greek word which means to examine, to contemplate. To learn thoroughly is what the word means. So Jesus, in essence, is telling us in 24 and 27, when we worry, we need to thoroughly consider the ravens and the lilies. Now, when Abraham Lincoln read this verse, since he didn't have the internet or he didn't have the National Geographic Channel, which would show him these things, you know what he had to do? He walked outside. And he went out in the woods and he sat down and he thoroughly considered the birds of the air and the flowers in the field. So try this. To fulfill what Jesus is calling us to, go take a walk in the woods. Go to Hocking Park. We used to go there camping when I was a boy, and they go there. Go out and just go into nature. But don't just brush, or even just go to a park. Don't just walk right by and kind of glance. Stop. Settle down and watch and observe. Thoroughly observe the birds. And I don't think you're going to see a bird pulling a tractor behind it trying to plant. You're not going to see a bird on a combine, or you're not going to look up in the trees and see bird barns up there where they're storing their food. You're not going to see that, right? It's kind of silly to even think about. What are you going to see? You're going to see an animal that God has provided for that very day. And when you go to look at the flowers, you're going to see its texture, its intricacies, its beauty. And then you're going to step back and think, wow, if the Lord clothes that flower with that kind of glorious beauty, and if the Lord takes care of the birds as I watch them do their thing, then I can know, not hope, but know, and he's going to take care of me. And I don't have to be afraid of what's in front of me. I'm an eternal creature. Again, he's talking about those of us who know Christ as our Savior. We're saved. We're going to be with God forever and ever. And he says, I promise you that I'll take care of you. And I think, what, in essence, what he's going through here is he's saying, we need to look at the meticulous care of God as he takes care of his creation. I mean, think of the genius of God. As he puts the planets in their orbits and puts the sun or the moon, or the earth at its perfect place related to the sun. Not too close where we burn up, not too far away where we freeze. All the things, everywhere around us is the witness of Almighty God to sustain his creation. So the question I think we have to ask ourselves is, are we genuinely willing to let the ravens and the lilies speak to us? And in essence, rebuke us for the way we've grown to think about how we're going to be taken care of in this world. And many of us, especially us guys, we think it's up to us. I'll just work harder. I'll just go at it harder. And, you know, there's an element of working, like Lauren was talking about her boy. You know, I don't want him to be lazy. Yeah, there's an element. I mean, the bird just doesn't go like, And yet some of us, we're on the couch, we do that. All right. Or, you know, it doesn't do that. The bird goes and gets it and gathers. And there's an element of that. Tomorrow morning, that alarm's going off, and you're going to get up, and you're going to go do your thing. And God has provided that for you. So as we're going to work tomorrow, I would encourage you, thank you, Lord, for the privilege of what I'm about to do today. Okay? Notice the last part of 28. Jesus rebukes them pretty strong for worrying. Our anxiety is not a reflection of God. It's a reflection of our little faith. And our little faith is, in essence, it's mistrusting the providence and the care of God. 29 then, and don't seek what you should eat or what you should drink or have an anxious mind. Means don't make those things a supreme concern in your life. I once heard of a fog that settled into Minneapolis. The fog was so thick that they had to shut down all the transportation, airport, everything. They couldn't drive. It was so thick. Well, scientists calculated how many droplets of real water was in the air. He said you could have put it in a half a glass of water, just a half a glass. You know what? I'm like that with my anxiety. Just a half a glass of problems, and I've shut the airport down. I can't see, the whole transportation, I can't move around because all just that much worry has caused me to just totally flip out and everything's just like I can't function anymore. So Jesus says, don't be anxious about those things. Notice he says in 30, for all these things the nations of the world seek after. Your Father knows you need these things. Now, you may not need a jet ski. Sorry. So let's make sure we focus on the word need there. My two kids are here. Circle that. You know, sometimes I think my blood type is B negative, by the way I talk about things, you know. I heard that last week. I actually wrote that down right there. I underlined it, B negative. So I had to throw it in, even though it really didn't fit. But when I write it down and I actually see it, I got to say it. B negative. All right, never mind. 30. 31. But seek the kingdom of God. And all these things shall be added to you. Matthew says it this way. Seek ye first. Remember how it goes? Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Remember how else it goes? And his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I like that. Jesus wants to take you from being the rich fool that we talked about last week, who thinks his security is found in and just my worldly possessions. He wants to take us from that to a wise investor, someone who lives their life for God and laying up riches in heaven. And all that simply means is that I make God's call upon my life my priority. And as I do that, God says, I promise, I'll take care of every need you have in this world. Now, in 32, it's the only time in the New Testament that the word little flock, the phrase little flock is used. Do not fear, little flock. It speaks to me, at least. It speaks to the fact that God is a good shepherd. Do not fear, little flock. Can you hear Jesus saying that? Do not fear, little flock. For it's in your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God doesn't give us kingdom things grudgingly. Well, I guess you've been good today, so maybe if you continue to be good for a couple more hours, then I'll give you a little bit. That's not the way the heart of the Father operates at all. It pleases the Lord to supply his kids their needs. I pray you believe that. And notice, he gives it. You ain't earning it. He gives it to us. He's provided heaven for us. He's going to provide everything we need every step along the way. Now, I don't know if you noticed when we were reading it, but it says a couple times, your Father. 30, he says it. Somewhere else he says it. I didn't write it down. Somewhere else. Yeah, 32. It doesn't say your New Testament professor in heaven or your drill instructor. Again, it's the heart of the Father to be a shepherd to us. Walk in childlike faith. Now, when my kids were little, they didn't worry about the light bill. They didn't even think about the light bill. They walked in the room, they flipped it on, it came on. Oh, okay. A buddy of mine, Jason Sitko, who you a lot of us know, they've since moved back to Cleveland. He said his son, when he was maybe 5 or 7 or something like that, they were standing close to the checkout at Walmart or one of those places, and the boy looked over and says, Daddy, can I have a, Jason said, the boy, can I have a candy bar or whatever? And Jason said, I don't have the money for that. He goes, Dad, there's a machine right there. All you got to do is punch in a couple numbers and money just comes right out. It was an ATM. Well, the boy didn't realize. And that's the way our kids are, aren't they? They don't realize. They open the refrigerator door. They see a full fridge. And what do they say? There's nothing to eat in here, right? Or they open their closet, stuffed full of clothes. There's nothing to wear. At least that's my testimony of my family. But my kids, you know, they've been real good about recognizing that God has been our provider. My point to this is Jesus isn't interested in raising theologians. He's talking about God raising sons and daughters. And this is how we ought to live while we wait for his return. Last couple verses then, 33. Here's the cure for anxiety. Sell what you have. You tried it? Whatever's bringing anxiety to you, get rid of it. Sell what you have. Give alms. Provide yourselves money bags, which don't grow old, and a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches, nor moth destroys. The principle's proven, the last verse in 34, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If a person's heavily invested in the stock market, guess what happens? They watch that stock market go through all day. They watch. If a person's heavily invested in the real estate market, they track that real estate market very closely. And I know you're going to giggle a little bit about this, but if a person's really invested in fantasy football, you know what they do all week? Man, they read every stat. They don't even come to church on Sunday because they got to watch the 9-hour pregame, you know, because there might be somebody who gets injured. And I got to, you know, we just, whatever we're invested in, that's where our heart is. And Jesus is simply saying this: how about we invest ourselves in kingdom things? Now, how do we do that? Just give ourselves to God and not try to attain and not try to gain. But it's like, Lord, today I'm going to give myself to eternal things. I'm going to serve others. I'm going to bless others. I'm going to honor others. I'm going to give to you your work in this world and how the Lord moves me. Now, one of the things I want to say, I don't know if you watch Christian TV or not. I choose not to. But the way they act sometimes is like, heaven's going to fail if you don't give us money. That's crazy talk. I'm not talking about that. You know, we don't path the plate here. We want you to be led by God as you give. We want you to be led by God as you serve. I love the fact that I don't believe, tell me if I'm wrong, but I don't believe we're a top-down church, that the board and I tell you what you should be doing. No, no, no. What we want to encourage you is you hear from God. You hear his voice. And what we want to do is if Dory is called to Mazatlan, we want to turn to Dory and say, how can we support you? What can we do to help you fulfill the calling in your life? And we do that in a lot of different ways. Mrs. Nicklin and what she does in the BCF, how can we support Mrs. Nicklin and what she does? How can we support you and what you do? I think it's a glorious principle that we want to live by in this church. You hear from God. You walk that out. And here Jesus is saying is, as you do that, you're investing in eternal things. Guess what? You don't have to fear a robber there. You don't have to lock your doors there. You don't have to worry about the stock market crashing in heaven. It ain't. Because God's saying that if you invest in heavenly things, it'll be a reward for you. And not only when I get to heaven will there be heaven waits for me, I get this peace now, this privilege now of knowing God's using me in this world. Wouldn't it be great to be able to go with Dora and Akaika? Now, Akaika says it. When Akaika's here, we don't really see Akaika. He's around all the Moraleses, and they're loud. And so Akaika's like a wallflower, man. You go over to their house, there's 700 billion of them. They're all over the place, and they're loud, and they're hi-yah, you know, and all this stuff. And poor Akaika, he's over here to the side like, yeah. But when you go to Mazatlan and you see Akaika, you see him just because he's in his element there. You need to go be a part of what God is doing around this world. And if that's to go to Cumberland, Indiana today, do that. If that's going across the town tomorrow, then do that. If that means you're going to get on a plane and go with us when we go to Mexico one of these days, then let's do that. Jesus is saying, as you do that, simply, Jesus is saying, as you do that, you're going to have a glorious peace that's in your heart because you know that you're investing in kingdom things, eternal things. Amen? Here, let's pray. Lord, thanks for how you work in our hearts. always drawing us to a deeper place. I pray none of us would ever be satisfied with, yeah, I'm saved and I'm pretty good right here. But Lord, we would just continue as you draw us to step out into the deeper waters of faith, as you call us to step out further and further into the things that you want us to be about. I pray you build us up in just eternal things, Lord. And Lord, I pray each one of us would give you permission, even right now, to show us if there are things that we're kind of holding on to that's temporal. If we're busy building the earthly barns, and that you would show us that and we would repent, it is sin, and turn from it and say, Lord, I so want to be used by you in this world. Lord, we acknowledge that we live around a lot of people who need hope, who have no sense of a future, and you're calling us to reach out to them. And I pray this week, Lord, we wouldn't just have our eyes on ourselves and our eyes on our own thing, but we would be aware of people around us and that we could just love on them and encourage them, bless them. And as they watch us, Lord, they'd recognize it's God in us. What a privilege to represent you in this world, Lord. Help us not be hand-wringers this week. Help our faith to grow to the degree that we trust you in everything we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Jake.